Hi, this is Jessica with the Hungry for More podcast. Feeling snacky? Then I've got a quick bite for you. Welcome to our Quick Bite mini episode series. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another Quick Bite. I am talking today about functioning your best throughout your menstrual cycle. The majority of our listeners are women. So if this is a man listening, I'm sorry, this episode is not for you. But it could be helpful, I guess, if you have a girlfriend or a wife or a special woman in your life that you'd like to better understand, then this episode is for anybody. So the reason that I'm bringing this topic up is it's very, very relevant to me and my life and the things that I'm experiencing. And often that's what my quick bites are about. I'm telling you because there are things that I'm realizing in my life that I know a decent amount about, that I'm researching, that I'm interested in. And so I hope that it also pertains to you. And I guess we need to start with my story. And hopefully it's somewhat similar to things that you have experienced with your cycle throughout your adolescence and adulthood. So my story, I got my period, my first period at 12 years old in seventh grade. And my mom, when I told my mom, she cried and told me, I'm now a woman. And I wanted to disintegrate into nothing and die. It was so embarrassing to me at the time. I certainly didn't want that. I didn't want to be a woman at 12. But that beginning of menstruating in my adolescence was barely an issue for me. I had pretty light periods. I barely PMSed. I never had cramps. But those light symptoms certainly didn't last. As I got older, my symptoms worsened. I started getting cranky, hangry, craving sweets, bleeding more heavily, getting cramps on the first day or two of my cycle, exhaustion, emotional eating, emotional in general, right? And today my symptoms are so much worse than those initial years. I've considered the potential for PMDD even. If you don't know what that is, it's extremely severe PMS symptoms that affect your mental health. And I think that because I've gone so far as to even have bouts of, to be honest, suicidal ideation while I'm PMSing. And then the second that I get my period, I'm absolutely fine and back to my normal happy self, which is very, very scary for me. And it has happened more than once. And even worse, I feel like those bouts of PMS, the length of time of PMS lasts longer than ever. So in my mid-30s today, things have changed. And the reality is I'm showing signs of hormonal imbalance. And the other reality of that is it is not uncommon for women to show these types of symptoms, to have really horrible periods, irregular periods, signs of actual problems, you know, menstrual problems. People have PCOS, endometriosis, super severe PMS, you know, you can't get out of bed from your cramps type of stuff. It's common. A lot of people have these problems. And for me, it isn't surprising considering my thyroid hormone imbalances. Everything is connected. So I am a work in progress. I actually am going to get my hormones tested soon. I've put that off for a while. I see pros and cons to getting these things tested personally. I don't think that we need to be doing it every few months, that's for sure. It is just a snapshot in time of what was going on the day and moment that you got tested. But it is a picture, and it's nice to do that every year or two. And for me, it's been probably 3 or 4 years, so it's time. So I wanted to go a little bit into the history of menstruation because I think it's really interesting. Things have changed compared to different times in the past. Today, menstruating is an inconvenience to daily life for most people. Women do not get a break from work, childcare obligations. We don't give ourselves the time that our body might need because life continues regardless of whether or not you are shedding uterine lining. It might be painful, highly symptomatic, or even debilitating, but we have stuff to do. But in ancient civilizations like Babylon, Hindu, and Chinese, menstruation was viewed as a sign of fertility. The Aztecs and Mayans viewed menstruating women as the most important people and were treated with reverence and respect by society. Native Americans honored this time with the Red Tent ritual, where menstruating women would live in a separate lodging area where they were considered to be in a time of greater creativity and spirituality. Wouldn't it be nice? Red tent. I'm in my red tent ritual air time. I'll see you guys in a week. It wasn't always good in different parts of history. In other civilizations and time periods, menstruation was attributed to witchcraft, religious shame. So obviously not always great. And I would imagine some of those things have trickled into today with our lack of knowledge, our shame around letting people know when we're on our period. Men have no freaking clue, right? But I would say that today there is more discussion about the menstrual cycle, period symptoms, and period products. At least I hope it's getting better than those days when I was a kid, where they had those Playtex commercials where women were playing sports and smiling a lot. I get that a tampon allows you to do more things, and that's, I guess, what they were promoting, but it's really not a great representation of having your period, is it? So at the end of the day, the more we understand our cycles and our own bodies, the better we can function throughout our cycles and lean into what our bodies need at different phases of the cycle. So let's go through those cycles really quick, those phases, the menstrual phases. So menstrual cycles range in length. A normal cycle falls anywhere from 21 to 35 days. The menstrual phase is considered day. So the first day that you get your period is considered day one of the menstrual phase, and it can last anywhere from 2 to 7 days, depending on how long your period tends to last. That in tandem with the menstrual phase, day one of your period to the day of your ovulation is the follicular phase. Typically, this phase lasts around 16 days, but it can range from 11 to 27 days. During this phase, the hypothalamus signals your pituitary gland to release FSH, or follicle stimulating hormone, which stimulates your ovaries to produce 5 to 20 small sacs called follicles. Each follicle contains an immature egg. The healthiest eggs will mature, and the rest of the follicles will be reabsorbed into your body. The maturing follicle sets off a surge of estrogen. During the follicular phase, you will typically feel more energized, more balanced emotions, stronger. And it's a good time to lean into that. More on that later. For the ovulation phase, your rising estrogen levels during the follicular phase trigger your pituitary gland to release luteinizing hormone, LH, which starts the process of ovulation. Ovulation is when your ovary releases a mature egg. The egg travels down the fallopian tube toward the uterus to be fertilized. This is the time during your cycle when you can get pregnant, as most of us know. Ovulation occurs during the middle of your cycle, typically around day 14. It lasts about 24 hours. After a day, if the egg is not fertilized, the egg will die or dissolve. The luteal phase, so if you get pregnant, your body will produce HCG, which is human chorionic gonadotropin, which is what the hormone pregnancy tests detect. If you don't get pregnant, your estrogen and progesterone levels decrease, which causes the onset of your period, a time in which the uterine lining sheds. And that decrease of hormones is that crash that you feel after ovulation when your PMS symptoms start and you start to feel horrible. And I am to the point in my journey of figuring out my own body that the day that happens, I feel it. I'm a mess. I can't stop eating. I'm emotional. I have zero energy. I did not used to be able to feel it like this. The PMS just started to kind of come on. Now I feel the crash. I feel the day that it happens. It's wild. So yeah, the luteal phase is a time when you may experience PMS, bloating, breast swelling, and tenderness, mood changes, headache, weight gain, changes in sexual desire, food cravings, trouble sleeping. Sounds very familiar. This phase lasts for 11 to 17 days with an average of 14 days. And during this phase, it's best to take it easier on yourself. So, in the follicular phase, that's the energizing time. You feel great. You can really kind of push. But during the luteal phase, when you're PMSing, it's a time to be nicer to yourself, to be gentler. Again, more on this later. So once you get your period, the follicular phase restarts and the cycle repeats. So before we get to those times of taking better care of yourself during these phases of your cycle, a couple quick fun facts about your cycle that I thought were really interesting. So an average healthy cycle is around 28 days. There have been many considerations of timekeeping over the centuries. The modern calendar began in 45 BC by Julius Caesar when he added leap days to the Roman calendar to create the Julian calendar. This is going to make sense, I promise. It was modified around 1500 years later by Pope Gregory XIII into the Gregorian calendar that we use today. It took a long time for this calendar to take hold worldwide, and then in the 1920s, they tried to overhaul it. A committee was formed to create a standardized system of timekeeping, and a plan was created called the International Fixed Calendar, IFC, which comprised 13 months of 28 days each, which is 364 days in a year. This would ensure that each month would start on a Sunday and end on a Saturday. You would never have to ask what day of the week the 26th was because it would always fall on a Thursday. They proposed a one-day world holiday between the final Saturday of the year and Sunday, January the 1st, which would bring the total number of days to 365. Wouldn't it be cool? First of all, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a world holiday every year at the end of the year? But wouldn't it be so cool if the world was based around the same exact cycles that your body goes through? Doesn't that seem so much more intuitive to have 13 months of 28 days? Obviously, this was not enacted. There were objections, including some religious objections, like the Sabbath. And so we continue with the Gregorian calendar today. There are links to menstruation and moon cycles as well, which last about the length of normal menstrual cycles. So some people can kind of sync up to moon cycles, which is really interesting. You can pay attention. I actually have a moon phase app on my phone. It's fun to look at. So anyways, those are my fun facts. And I'm sure there's many, many more. And when I was researching this a little bit, there was plenty to say, but it is a quick bite. So we're going to move on. So here we go to listening to your body throughout your cycles. Knowing what we know about menstrual cycles and what your body seems to do during those different phases that we just went over, it's so important to pay attention and lean into what it needs. Men don't have these cycles. The world is set up around men. We live in a patriarchy. There are no times in regular life when you're allowed to function differently just because you're on your period or you're PMSing. But there are things that you can do to better lean into it to take better care of yourself during those times. So, again, during the follicular and even the ovulatory phase, when you are full of energy and strength, when your mood is stable, this is the time to be productive, to work out harder, to lean into your goals. But during the luteal phase, this is the time to ease back a little, to work on easing stress, focusing on sleep, leaning into gentler workouts, eating foods to ground you. And yes, it's okay to have a treat if you're craving it. My mom had a close friend that told her that your cycle brings you closer to the truth. If you're more emotional and things are bothering you more during this time, perhaps we need to take a look at those things. Are they truth? Is there things that you aren't dealing with that need to be addressed that come up when you are PMSing and on your period? Is this luteal phase and your menstrual phase a time to be more creative, more internal, to journal, to meditate, take walks, to be out in nature, to snuggle up on the couch and escape into your version of a red tent? Your body seems to want that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. And I think that we should be taking better care during those times. Also, treating your body better all month will ease your symptoms. So, despite the increased severity of my symptoms over the decades here, I have noticed that how I treat my body throughout the month often determines what my cycle will be like. If I'm eating healthfully and consistently taking my supplements and herbs that support my hormones, I do better. I do believe diet is connected. So, some natural herbs and remedies that I have found to help me: raspberry leaf tea. You can drink that month round, or you can do it on the second half of your cycle. Clary Sage essential oil rubbed over my lower belly and uterus. Again, you can do that all month long, or you can kind of do extra during your cycle, or if you're having cramps, they really help. DIM supplements helped me when my cycle got really messed up, out of whack. I had really long cycles every other month. I didn't know what was going on, and the DIM supplements helped regulate me back to 28-day cycles. Nettle tinctures or teas can help balance hormones, and I'm not gonna say this, donkey root is also helpful for balancing hormones. I hope this was helpful. I hope that you related to this a little bit. This felt very intuitive to me. I'm certainly not an expert, but I'm learning and I wanted to share with you what I'm learning. We do plan to have somebody who is more of an expert on these things on the show for a farther-reaching episode. So I look forward to that coming up sometime this year. And if you have any questions or you relate, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram at Live It Up Wellness. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay hungry. Bye, friends.